Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Today's Old Testament reading is taken from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in saying the catechetical review, the first article, creation. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey. This is most certainly true. Today's epistle reading is from Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, Christ for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns in Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
And faith in the Apostles' Creed, you'll find that in the back cover of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Will you set that on that chair? Come right over here, guys. It's a little easier to see then. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you all. How many of you have rules in your house? Yep. I was just at a family. I visited a family not too long ago, and one of the rules they have is when you come into the house, you take your shoes off because they don't want to drag things into the house. That's a kind of a common rule. What kind of rules do you guys have in your house? No running in the house. That's a very good thing.
Don't spill anything.
Yep, that's a good thing. And if you spill, what do you do?
Clean it up.
That's right. That's a good rule, too. Yep, take off your shoes in your house. We even have a rule for our animals. When our dog goes outside and when he comes back in the house, the very first thing the dog has to do is go into his kennel. And then he gets dried off before he comes into the house. So we have all kinds of rules. Did you have a rule too? What is it?
No back talking.
Yep, no back talking. That's a really good rule, and we're going to talk about that rule just a minute. Now, does God give us any rules? He does. He gives us rules for a very good reason. Mom and Dad have given you rules in your house to teach you things. What? What, Levi?
We do not litter in the earth.
That's right. We don't litter. We pick things up and we put it where it needs to be. That's a good rule as well. Because God has given us this earth and he says that we are to keep it nice. And that we do that by not littering. God has given us rules too, and just like the rules in your house, God has given us rules for our good, because without rules, what would we do? Right, and we might make a mess of the earth, right, and not take care of things, and if we didn't have a rule in our houses, maybe they'd be a mess all over the place, and we wouldn't have that nice place to live. So rules help us to do what's good for us. Now, God gives us rules. Do you know what they are? Right here, the Ten Commandments. That was the Old Testament reading for today. He gave us these rules for our good. Now, can you read these? Can we try to read them together? I have to get them over here so I can help you. All right, here's the first one. You shall have no other gods. This is a little older translation. So, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number three, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number four, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you, and you mayest live long on the earth. Number five, thou shalt not kill. That's right. Here's six, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number seven, thou shalt not steal. Number eight, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Number nine, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And ten, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant or anything that is thy neighbor's. So God gives us these Ten Commandments for us for our good, but there's this first one right here. Do you remember the first commandment?
No other gods.
No other gods. Why does God say that?
Because there's only one God.
That's right. There is only one God, but why does God say, don't worship any of these false gods? Yep, they're not real, but sometimes we can think they are. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of loving something so much it gets in the place of God. Like, have you guys ever played video games and you were supposed to do something else and somebody had to remind you not to play the game but to go do your work? You see, the game can become a god because we fear it, we love it, we trust in it more than other things, more than God himself. So that's why God gives us the commandments, so that we can fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Because what does God want to give to us? Does God want to give us bad things? No. God wants to give us good things. He wants to give us forgiveness of sins. He does give us forgiveness of sins. He wants us all to be home with him. He gives us faith. And where did he give you faith? In your baptism. And how do we remember that? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He gave us faith to believe. He connected us to Jesus and what he did. So he gave us the forgiveness of sins. And this is all for our good. Sometimes, though, we want those other gods. We love other things more than God. And he reminds us when we break his commandments, what should we do? Should we just give up?
No.
We
should go to
church. Yep, we go to church. And we confess our sin like we did at the beginning. And what's God do? And he forgives us, right? Levi?
We always have to go to school.
Yep, we go to school so we can learn more about all kinds of things. That's one of the rules too, isn't it? We have a lot of rules in our world. God gives us rules for our good so that he can continue to give us his good gifts. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we?
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for your law.
Thank you for your law.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
And protecting us in the law.
And protecting us in the law.
And forgiving us.
And forgiving us.
In your name.
In your name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, guys, for coming up here.
Grace and peace to you from our Father, our Lord, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was writing up a sermon, and one word came to mind immediately when I read the sermon text for today from Matthew 10. And if you're like me, you despise it just as much. Priorities. Not a very fun word to hear. An avid reminder of the fact that we're all human. Unfortunately, we kind of need them, though, right? As much as we dislike them, they help us organize our time, they help us organize what we need to do, and they help us get rid of things that we don't. But priorities are often out of order for us, aren't they? I mean, we're all human, we're all sinners. And once again, it's just a reminder of the fact that there's only one of us. I was recently watching a movie, it's called Zathura, and one of the lines from that movie hit very different, and let's see if it hits different with you too. Now, let me set up the situation here. The movie stars these two brothers, and they fight constantly for their father's attention. Meanwhile, he has a busy project at work that he has to do, and he's sitting at his desk, and his sons are fighting 2 feet away from him over who gets to have what time with him. And in the midst of this chaos, he just explodes and says, there's only one of me, okay? This sucks. This all sucks, but I'm doing the best I can. Now, there's two things in that phrase that really stood out to me when I heard it. There's only one of me, and I'm doing the best I can. The best I can is never enough. And I have a feeling that since all of us in this room are human, it's never enough for any of us in here. It's hard. And oftentimes, our priorities are out of whack because of it, especially when we sin. Our priorities are the furthest out of whack when we keep straying from God. But what do we prioritize when we sin? Think of it. What immediately comes to mind when you think, oh man, I sinned that way today? Was it a sin of comfort? Were you looking for something to just ease the pain a little bit? The pain of being human? Was it the priority of just sin in general? Was it something that you just liked doing and you looked at God and did it anyway? We like sinning. It's comfortable. I heard those words from Pastor Sturzenbecker. And it's unfortunate. It's sad. It's the reality of a fallen world. And what's worse is that sometimes we feel like we have to. Sometimes we feel like the only way to get out of a situation is to do something wrong. Sometimes it seems like we need to take something. Sometimes it seems like we need to do something to get us into the right space, just to do something and get it out of the way. And once again, priorities fall out of alignment with God. And it's important to remember when we get into those situations that God promises to take care of us. We just finished going over the catechesis for the first article, and I absolutely love that catechesis. When God tells us that he cares for us and will provide us every need, that's not an empty promise. He does that daily. Give us this day our daily bread. It's important. And yet, every day we struggle to live by faith. And as we prioritize the needs that we think God isn't going to provide for us, we fall further and further from what he wants us to be. Now, God doesn't ask for anything in return for this care. And he continues to provide for us despite how fallen we are. But he does have a call for us, as we heard in Matthew 10. Let me reread the verses for you that I want you to listen to. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. God calls us to proclaim his word, and yet for some reason, we're always so shy about it. It's difficult. It's awkward. It's very difficult to get into a situation where you have that opportunity, and even harder to actually take it. But God calls us to do it anyway. So why don't we take that opportunity? Why do we struggle so much? Well, frankly, people are like turtles. We like our shells. It's comfortable in there. It's safe. Nothing changes. It's stable. But that's not the life God called us to, is it? God calls us to be more than a turtle. He calls us to get out of that shell. But we're so scared of the consequences. It's dangerous outside the shell. What if they don't like me anymore? What if they stop talking to me? What if the person I talk to has some influence over my life? What if that backfires? What if someone else gets hurt because of what I said? We run these risks. And in our reading today, we saw that the world will hate Jesus. It's the nature of the beast. And once again, we're scared of awkwardness and confrontation. It's the nature of wanting to be liked as a person. It's the nature of being human. But God uses us to soften the hearts of men. And through all of that, God still calls us to, well, to proclaim the gospel from the housetops, from the streets, from everywhere, even through death. As we heard the consequences, do not fear the one who can kill you. Well, just your body. Only fear the one who can kill your body and your soul in hell. Strong words. Seems like awkwardness gets a little minimized in that, doesn't it? And I know what you might be thinking, and no, don't go to your closet and grab the end is nigh sign that's just sitting there. It's okay. You don't have to stand on the street corner and hold that up. In fact, in a modern context, that might be more damaging than good. No. God calls us to proclaim an example, the hope and joy that we can find in Christ. And you know, even when our priorities are out of whack, God's never have been and never will be. And we share this word because God initially made us the ultimate priority. When God came down from heaven, what did he do? He came to die for your sins, every single one of them. You know, the ultimate miracle that God does is the death and resurrection. But the second greatest is that he was able to get anywhere at all. Miracles brought crowds to him. You know how difficult it is to get through a crowd of 500 people, let alone 5,000 when you're feeding them? It's impossible. But God took the ultimate priority, and God made his way all the way to the cross to die for you. God forgave you through every struggle, even when it came to feeding 5,000 or just walking to Jerusalem with 5,000 people with you. And this is because, despite everything we've done, despite how out of whack our priorities are, and despite how much we failed him, God loves us. And this isn't the same love that we think of. No. It is no worldly love that God ever shows us. I think we can all relate that love is a lot easier to show when someone loves you back. Oftentimes, we love in order to get something in return. And it's a very, sadly, human problem. But not one for God. No. God loves us regardless of what we've done. God's love is completely unconditional, and he expects nothing in return. He just calls you. God's love is so unique and so otherworldly that it is impossible to not see it through all of the noise that this world provides. And when you are able to example that in your life, it hits different. People see the change. People see the joy. They see hope. in an often hopeless world. And right now we live in an often hopeless world. So what do we say? Well, we tell them the story that needs to be told. We tell them that Jesus came for you, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus has forgiven you the sins that you could never forgive yourself. Jesus has made you right with God, despite you being unable to do so yourself. So what's the reason to fear anything? What's the reason to fear war? What's the reason to fear a little awkwardness and confrontation? What's the reason to fear death? Well, there is none. Because Jesus paid every price, and Jesus continues to love you unconditionally. Amen.